And Mimi.
I know. We couldn't put this off forever. Getting back to things.
Adrian finished.
No, we can't. I know you're probably tired, but I'd like to talk to you. Inside. You're right about the cold. All right. I'm going to do one last circuit with Sadie.
I'll be in the kitchen.
What do you suppose that's about?
Adrian blew out the candles, began to walk.
I hope she's not upset because he left me the house, the business. I really don't want to deal with hard feelings tonight.
But she finished the circuit, rounded back through the mudroom. Her mother sat in the breakfast nook. Two glasses of wine, a plate of cheese and fruit. She looked exhausted, Adrian realized. In the bright kitchen light, the fatigue showed clearly.
You've had a long day, too. We can talk in the morning.
I've been putting this off. I didn't want to bring it up until we'd had the memorial. Until we'd gotten here. So Adrian sat.
If this is about the house, about Rizzo's...
What? Oh, God, no. Lena nearly laughed. He knew I wouldn't want either. Wouldn't know what the hell to do with either.
Traveler's Creek just isn't my home, Adrian. It's where I come from, and that's different.
He left me that painting his grandmother did of the sunflower field because I always liked it. It's not a very good painting, but it speaks to me. He left me his father's pocket watch because my nonno let me play with it when I was a child.
He left me things like that. Things he knew would mean something to me.
I loved him, Adrian.
Of course you did.
No, no. Lena shook her head, picked up her wine. I loved them both, but we lived in different worlds. I chose a different one. They never tried to hold me back. She took a deep breath. When my mother died, it was so abrupt, so immediate. I was so angry. It wasn't supposed to happen like that, just a slick road on a dark night. But this, somehow it's different. I saw when I was here over the holidays. He looked older, he moved slower. I could see the time he wouldn't be there, and it scared me. He was always invulnerable. It was forever. There would always be time to make up for not being here enough. When her voice broke, she stopped, drank some wine. I was coming for his birthday and making plans to stay maybe a week, then to start visiting every couple of months, a day or two, just to make up some of that time. And then you called, and there was no more time.
He was proud of you. They both were proud of everything you've accomplished.
I know that, too. I always felt trapped here, closed in. She looked around. This big old house on the hill, the little town down below, it wasn't for me. I need the crowds, the movement. This isn't about that.
Pausing, Lena pressed her fingers to her eyes.
Justifications are crap. She dropped her hands to the table. So is procrastination, which I'm doing now. I've been a lousy mother.
You... what?
You don't think I know how inadequate I've been in that area? I wanted what I wanted, and I pushed for it, whatever it took, whatever it left behind. I left a lot of things behind. The bare fact is, I'm not good with kids.
Okay.
At a loss, Adrian lifted her hands.
I never went without anything.
Lena let out a short laugh. That's a poor bar to scale. You didn't because Mimi and Harry filled the gaps, and more because your grandparents gave you a home. I've lost my parents, Lena said slowly. I've lost them both. And it's made me face what a bad one I've been.
You gave me discipline and drive, made me understand the value of working toward my own passion. I wouldn't have NewGen without you plowing the road.
You started down that road on your own, with the friends who've just left. You didn't come to me because why would you? I saw it then, knew it then, but, well, you know, busy. I'm sorry.
It surprised Adrian to feel it, so she said it. I think you're being too hard on yourself.
No, I'm not. You know I'm not, but you feel a little sorry for me right now.
I'm going to exploit that and ask for you to give me a chance to do better. You're a grown woman, I get that, and I've lost the time in between, but I'd like to try to do better as a parent. As a mother. I love you. It's hard for me to show it, but that doesn't mean I don't feel it. In her life, Adrienne couldn't remember Lena asking her for anything. Regimenting her, directing her, disagreeing with her, but never asking her for anything. Would you answer a question for me? With something between a smirk and a smile, Lena tipped her glass back and forth. I've had more wine tonight than I generally have in a week, so now would be the time to ask me a question. Adrienne took her time, drank some wine herself.
Why did you have me? You had a choice.
Oh, that one. Lena drew in, let out a long breath. I'm not going to lie to you. Not going to say I didn't consider that choice. I was young, not quite through college. I'd discovered the man I thought I loved and loved me was not only sleeping with other women but had a wife he was not divorcing.
It was horrible for you.
After a moment's hesitation, Lena leaned forward. There's one of the big differences between us. You see that, understand that. You don't need anything more to empathize. My empathy level is well below yours. Skipped a generation. She leaned back. It was horrible. Mimi helped so much. She always has. I knew she'd stand by me whatever choice I made, so less horrible. I felt I needed to tell John. I'd stopped seeing him, of course. I already told you about that, but I felt an obligation to tell him. I went to his office at the college, and it didn't go well. Brows drawn, eyes hot, Lena stared down at the table. He kept a bottle in his desk, and he'd obviously used it before I got there. That should have warned me off. But I was there to get this done. She looked up. He called me a liar, then a whore, accused me of trying to ruin his life, of trying to trap him, and so on. I told him I didn't want anything from him, had no intention of telling anyone, but that didn't work. He demanded I get rid of it, deal with it, or he'd make me sorry. I was angry enough to tell him I'd decide what to do with my own body, and he had no say in it. He came at me. So fast. Shoved me against the wall. I remember things falling off the shelves, he was so violent. And he hit me. Twice. With his fists. She pressed a hand to her stomach. Hit the beginnings of you. All the while shouting, he'd decide. He'd get rid of it right now. I'd seen what he was, Adrienne, when I broke things off with him, but then I saw what came into the house in Georgetown all those years later. I saw a killing violence. I'm not sure what might have happened, but the door opened. It was the student I knew he was currently sleeping with. He rounded on her, shouting for her to get the hell out, and I managed to pull away. Get away. She lifted her glass again. That made my choice. Maybe it was arbitrary or out of spite, but I kept thinking he'd attacked us. Us. So I chose us. I should have gone to the police, and that I regret, but I just wanted to get away from him. And when I came home, when I sat in this kitchen with Mom and Dad and told them all of it, they were there for me. For us.
You must have been so frightened.
Not after I came home. Not after I went to work. I actually enjoyed pregnancy. It was a challenge, and I had a goal. That's how I operate, after all.
It's how Rizzos operate,
Adrienne corrected. To a point, sure. Lena shook her head again. In any case, Yoga Baby sprang from that. From us. But it didn't take me long after you were born to realize I'm not very maternal. Not particularly good with babies. With children. I could make sure you were healthy, safe, secure, but to do that, I needed to build my career and business. That's how I saw it. And Mimi was there to do the rest. and your grandparents. Then Harry. Freed me up to do what I wanted.
She looked down at the table again.
I did what I wanted, she murmured. And you were healthy, well-groomed, well-mannered. You had a good education, travel, talent. Oh, you had such talent. And didn't I make sure you had others to fill those gaps? There'd be plenty of time later for whatever. I didn't have that time to coddle and cuddle or the inclination.
She lifted her hands.
So I lost all of that time.
Before Lena could drop her hands again, Adrian reached out, gripped one.
Do you know one of my most vivid memories? One of my deepest and strongest memories of you? Of my mother? I'm afraid to ask. He hurt Mimi. I was so shocked and scared, and I ran for you, ran screaming for you. And he caught me. He hurt me. He was hurting me. You came out, and you were so calm, so strong.
I wasn't.
You were. You tried to talk him into letting me go. You kept talking, trying to get him to let me go. That was your focus. I was your focus. And when he threw me, when he tried to throw me down the stairs, it hurt. It was this white-hot pain, but I saw you. I saw you through it, the rage on your face, the fury, the way you leaped at him. For me, to save me. He hit you, he hurt you, but you didn't stop. You were bleeding, but you didn't stop. He would have killed you, killed all of us, but you wouldn't let him. And when he fell, you ran to me. To me. You held me with blood and tears on your face.
Adrian reached out again, taking her mother's other hand so they linked across the table.
I know you loved me. In the day-to-day routine of things, you're crap at showing it.
Lena's surprised laugh ended on a half-sob.
I really am. But when it's the hard stuff, the ugly stuff, you're right there. I've always known it. And I didn't know or understand then that by leaving me here for that summer, you took all the heat, all the fallout, all the ugliness, and left me where I could just be.
That was most of it.
I'll take credit for that being most of it. But there was calculation, too.
I needed to use what had happened to boost and not let what had happened take down what I'd started.
You have had a lot of wine tonight. I'm so sorry, Adrian. I wish I could say I'll be better, do better. I want to try, and that's the goal. I'm hoping this isn't the first goal I set I miss making. You have too much of them in you not to give me a chance. I'm using that, too.
Adrian released her mother's hand to pick up her glass.
Keep drinking,
she said, and made Lena laugh again.
Okay, I'm going to lay it out. I enjoy my life. I'm proud of what I've built, and I think, I know, I've changed some lives for the better with my work. I like the spotlight. I like the financial advantages, the travel, all of it. I like the freedom, which is one of the reasons I've never married. But at the end of the day, I know I'm smart enough, organized enough, clever enough to have made more time for you, for my parents. I'll never get that time back with them. Meanwhile,
she lifted her glass in turn.
You're better than I ever was. You're more approachable, more personable, more balanced in that way. You've got a good head for business. I beat you there, but you've got a good head for it. And you surround yourself with talented people, people you like, who like you. More balance. And you've got more natural talent than I did. I'm going to take credit again for giving you the foundation, but you've built your own on it. And I respect that.
Lena sipped, studied her daughter.
I thought you were wasting yourself coming back here. I was wrong. It only helped you expand that talent and appeal. It would have smothered me, but it just opened you.
She sipped again, looked around the room.
What are you going to do in this big old house?
Live, to start. Work? Figure it out as I go.
I'd like to stay a few more days if you're okay with that.
I'd like that too. I'll take you for a tour of the youth center in progress. You might have some ideas.
Would you take them?
Might. Adrian smiled. If they work for me. And I'd like you to come back in May. First week of May,
she calculated.
Possibly the second week of May for the joint project. I've got most of the arrangements in place.
We haven't even...
What arrangements?
I'd assumed we'd do the production in New York.
I've got a different angle.
Lena Rizzo, Adrian thought, wasn't the only one who knew how to exploit the moment.
Travelers Creek High School Gym. We'll have students, teachers. I've cleared all that. Double disc set.
In a high school gym? More a small town high school? With kids?
Graduating seniors with parental and medical approval. Six of those, six teachers. We put them through the paces. 30 to 35 minute routines, cardio, strength training, mat work, yoga, and a combo of all. We provide wardrobe. Maybe Yoga Baby for the teachers, New Gen for the students.
A competition?
Friendly.
Fitness 101.
Adrian frowned. Damn it, that's better than my working title.
Which is?
Never mind. We use the town where I live and you grew up and give it some nice play. We use the school where you graduated, add some sweet nostalgia.
Let's not mention the year I graduated. A woman-to-woman smile now.
As if.
You were going to do this with or without me.
Yes. But if you don't like it, I'll do the project you want with you at some point. I just think this would generate a lot of interest and a lot of sales.
I want to see the routines.
I haven't perfected all of them.
Good. I have some ideas of my own. If we come together on those, we have a deal.
Lena held out a hand to shake, then squeezed Adrian's.
I'm going to do better.
You already are.
Adrian had a full sack of sympathy mail to go through. She wanted to try to answer as many as possible, as quickly as possible. Some had sent condolences to the house, others to the restaurant. She took an early run with Sadie to give her mother use of her gym. With a breakfast smoothie, she sat down at the kitchen counter to begin to sort. Many she could just put in a memorial box, as she'd already spoken in person to the sender. But others had come in from all over, all those people whose lives her grandfather had touched in some way. Once she opened all, sorted all, she'd try to compose notes. A man in Chicago sent sympathies and mentioned that Dom had given him his first job. A woman in Memphis wrote that she'd gotten engaged in Rizzo's, and Dom had personally brought a bottle of sparkling wine to the table. Others spoke of having a birthday party at Rizzo's, or coming there with their sports team after a win or a loss. It went on and on, touching her heart each time. Then her heart stopped when she came to the familiar block printing. Not the usual envelope, she realized, which explained how she'd missed it before. A thicker, larger white one with a Philadelphia postmark. When she carefully slid it open, she found a card, a black and white photo of a cat, eyes wide, fur frazzled. Having a bad day? Remember, somebody's always got it worse. She opened it, read the poem. Your poppy's dead. Too bad for you. You cried lots of tears, but don't be blue. You'll see him again, and it'll be swell when I send you down to join him in hell. That's the fucking limit.
Enraged, she started to tear the card to pieces. She stopped, shut her eyes, pulled out some control.
You're not going to use him. Not going to use him this way.
She pushed up to pace because she could feel herself shaking. Too angry to think, and she had to think. She yanked open the fridge, pulled out a Coke. She'd taken the first glug when Lena walked in.
Really? We're going to attempt some delayed bonding and you...
What's going on? Adrian just pointed at the card. Lena read it. Sat.
If you're not drinking this smoothie, I will.
Help yourself.
I want to tell you it's more bullshit, but I don't feel that way either. Anyone who's followed your blog, read any of your interviews, knows how close you and Poppy were, so this is calculated cruelty.
I know it. I know it's designed to make me feel exactly what I feel now.
No, Adrian, it was designed to make you sad, to enhance your grief and frighten you. What it's done is piss you off. He doesn't, or she doesn't, know you.
She stopped, looked back at Lena. That's what Raylan said.
You've told Raylan Wells?
It was one of those things. He saw me take one out of the P.O. box when he was in there, and he saw my reaction. So I told him.
Good. The more people who know who care about you, the better. Now, what do you want to do?
It threw Adrian off for a moment that her mother, who kept personal business locked down private, approved of opening her tight circle. I don't know.
I'd like to hire an investigator. The police, even the FBI, aren't as invested as someone would be who's being paid to invest in this specific thing. They don't have the time.
I don't know what a private investigator could do.
We'll find out. Maybe nothing, but we'll find out.
Let me do this for you.
Let me find the right person, have them start looking into it. I should have done it years ago, but I felt, always have, this sort of thing is just a nasty side effect of being in the public eye.
So does everyone else.
Well, I think I and everyone else have been wrong. Let's try it.
Okay.
Adrian nodded.
Okay. It's more than just doing nothing and waiting for the next one to come.
Or, she thought, waiting for the poet to come. How much longer would writing a few lines suffice?
Chapter 17. Raylan sat in his car outside the house in Brooklyn. It looked the same. Of course it looked the same. But it wasn't the same. Nearly a year had passed since he'd driven away from his life there. Nothing was really the same. But his friend, his partner, had brought another life into that house. Time to go in, he told himself. Time to deal. He gathered the flowers, the enormous rainbow-colored stuffed dragon, and carried them to the front door. Weird. Of course it felt weird to knock at the door of what had once been his. But moments later he smiled and meant it as Pats opened that door. She stood, a tall, strong-shouldered woman with a messy cap of brown hair and lively blue eyes. Immediately she threw her arms out, dragged him into a cheerful bear hug.
You're here! Oh, it's good to see you, Raylan.
Congratulations, Mom.
I can't get over it. I could stare at her all day. She's so beautiful. Come in. Come in and meet our Callie Rose. A dragon, a rainbow dragon. I love it.
Gee, did you want one too? Flowers for the moms, dragon for the baby. It'll watch over her.
A guardian dragon. Only you.
She took the flowers and his hand. She held it strong and tight while he took the moment to absorb. New paint, some new furniture mixed with what they'd taken from him, a baby monitor, a frilly baby swing, a pack-and-play with bassinet, a box of Pampers, a diaper genie. The air smelled of flowers. He hadn't been the only one to bring them. A new baby. Soft, creamy life. New life, he thought again. Not his. And he found himself all right with that.
Okay, pal?
Yes. He turned his head and kissed her cheek. Just fine.
Come on back. Want a Coke?
Oh, yeah. It looks good in here, Pats. I mean it. It looks happy, and that makes it just fine.
We love the house.
It has more than good bones. It has a good spirit. Bick just took Callie up to change her. Yes, we are those mothers, as it turns out. We wanted to put her in one of her ridiculously adorable dresses when you met her. How are the kids and everybody else?
Great. Excited to have a sleepover with Nana. When are you leaving, Dad?
Maya's on her last couple laps before we get another new baby.
You guys really did the home birth thing?
We did, and I'm not ashamed to admit I was scared shitless. She poured the Coke over ice. But it went really smooth.
Bick is a warrior.
I get teary, sorry.
Don't be.
She just powered through it, and Sherry, our midwife, was awesome. And there she was, the most beautiful creature in the world, yelling, waving her fists like, what the fuck is all this about?
She poured a second glass, and they tapped them.
And here they come.
Bick walked down the steps, holding the bundle in a fussy pink dress with a matching hair wrap.
I feel like we should have lights, Bick said. Music, maybe a marching band. Let me introduce you to the newest wonder of the world, Callie Rose.
She had that look newborns did, as if she'd just swum up from some mysterious world, big almond-shaped eyes dominating a face the color of gold dust over chocolate, a perfectly carved pixie mouth and a button of a nose.
Okay, she's gorgeous. Good work, Bick.
Best I ever did. Wanna hold her?
Damn right.
He put the Coke aside to take the baby, and his heart melted.
I'll always have candy, whatever your mom say. You can count on it.
Callie stared at him, looked as though she might be interested, then immediately spit up on his shirt.
That takes me back.
Sorry.
Laughing, Bick whipped the burp cloth from her shoulder.
We're fine. We're all fine here.
We can wash your shirt, Pats told him. We pretty much have laundry going around the clock now.
It's fine, he said again. And you look terrific. And not just for somebody who gave birth a week ago.
We're sleeping in snatches, my nipples are still in shock, and we've discovered a 7-pound human poops a half ton a day. It's the best time of our lives.
You brought us a dragon.
I brought Callie a dragon, and don't forget it.
He sat with her as Bick eased down, put up her feet. She'd cut her hair into a Halle Berry sort of pixie, and to his eyes looked nearly as adorable as her daughter.
How's your mom doing?
She asked him.
She's okay. It's hard. Dom was a father to her. Having the kids today, tonight, it's good all around.
Just one night?
Yeah, I'll head back tomorrow. Mo's got her spring dance recital this weekend. Maya's coming to the finish line. I'm going by HQ later.
He stroked a finger down the baby's cheek as he spoke.
Drop off some more work, catch up with everybody.
You know, Cobalt Flame, Turn of the Demons, killer, right? Thanks, babe, she said as Pats brought her a glass of orange juice.
Her evolving relationship with Angel adds the edge and emotion. Plus, you know, battles. It's all gotten me thinking more about the team forming we've talked about before.
Our superhero club.
Yeah, not just the crossovers we've done. The front guard.
The front guard.
Considering, Bick circled her foot.
Warlike. Sort of political. I like it. We'd need a storyline that builds to it, bringing the characters we want as that core together. And we'd need the infrastructure. Where's the HQ? What does it look like? You're going to want a big, big bad to incentivize them to build that team and keep it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I've got some notes, a few early sketches. I figured I'd go over them with Jonah, then we could teleconference.
Bick, baby, why don't you go into the office with Raylan?
Pats held up her hand before Bick objected.
You know you want to. We've got plenty of milk in the freezer. You nursed her an hour ago, so you're good there. Get out for a couple hours.
Really? You're sure?
For a chance to have her all to myself? Yeah, I'm sure. Raylan can drive you there and back. It's still too far for you to walk round trip. But we can take a nice stroll when you get back. Get Callie out in the fresh air. You go.
2 hours. That would be good. 2 hours,
she repeated and looked at her daughter.
I haven't been away from her for 2 minutes. I'm not sure I should.
No, I'm not going to be that mom.
Am I?
No.
She breathed out.
Okay, let's go to the madhouse and talk the front guard.
He ended up staying 2 nights, thrilling his kids and his mother as the brainstorming revved up. One of those evenings he spent eating pizza from the same takeout place he and Loralee had used at their old dining room table while he and his partners hammered out plot lines or rejected them.
Look, I like the visual of the big-ass cavern HQ.
Jonah took another bite of pizza, one loaded with meat.
The stalactites, stalagmites, the passages, but it clicks too close to the demi-demon members.
I hate when he's got a point.
Bic picked up one of the sketches scattered over the table.
Because I love this giant, self-illuminating stone table.
Remote's the important thing. No one's still got the military gunning for him.
We could use a cave anyway,
Jonah speculated,
but not deep underground. Maybe carved into a mountain. The Andes?
They batted that back and forth, with Jonah eating with one hand, sketching with the other. The baby woke with a squall.
That's the hungry one,
Bic said before Pats could rise.
I've got her. What about the Himalayas? It's mysterious.
She lifted Callie out of the bassinet, sat again to ease her shirt open and nurse.
I don't know why you're pushing them into caves and caverns,
Pats shrugged.
I mean, it's dark, and they're always fighting dark forces. You could give them an island, some remote tropical island, sunshine and beaches.
For a full 10 seconds, no one spoke.
Sorry, you're the experts.
No, Raylan shook his head. We're all sitting here thinking, why the hell didn't we come up with that? The front guard island.
Far off the shipping lanes,
Jonah continued,
lush and untouched. Could no one make an island disappear? Not show on satellite imagery on flyovers?
I can work with that.
It rose out of the sea, back in the far mists of time.
Bic beamed at Pats.
I really love you right now. I want a waterfall.
And a volcano,
Raylan said.
We have to have a volcano. HQ should be glass, clear, like it's not there.
Holy shit, I'm loving that.
And you too, Pats,
Jonah said, as he started a new sketch. A good, productive trip, Raylan thought, as he drove under the covered bridge to Traveler's Creek. With Flame's debut novel going into full production, the bones of the front guard set, and his next No One adventure underway, work rolled right along. Personally, he now knew he'd fully, finally accepted that the house in Brooklyn belonged to his friends, and could even celebrate the life they built there. He'd have dinner at his mother's, as she'd already informed him, hear all about their nanocation. Once he got the kids home, bathed, in bed, he'd go right back to work. The ideas just popped and sizzled in his head. Then he saw Adrian, moving at a steady run with her big dog across the road. The snug pants, the color of wild violets, stopped mid-calf. He could actually see the cut of those leg muscles. The tank, fluid, opened in the back, flowing out while her hair, a mass of curls, did the same. He felt that tug, that twist and pull. He didn't feel as guilty this time, but winced with embarrassment as he nearly drove right past his mother's house. He made the abrupt turn into the driveway, and when he got out of the car, saw Adrian and the dog turn the corner toward home. She intended to run home, then found herself detouring. She wasn't quite ready for the quiet of home, so turned toward Tisha's. She noted Raylan's car still wasn't in the drive. The Creek Grapevine had it he'd gone to New York for a day or two. She hadn't seen him since her grandfather's memorial. So much going on. She started toward Tisha's door, then heard the shouts and laughter from the backyard, made another detour. Phineas and Colin made good use of the backyard playset, both of them with flushed cheeks and bright hoodies, scrambling up the steps to hit the slide. She opened the gate, unleashed Sadie. The dog bounded straight to the kids, who bounded right back.
Hi, Sadie. Hi.
They all but fell on the dog.
Hi, Adrian. Hi.
Hi yourselves. What a nice Sunday, right? You guys want to play with Sadie a while?
Mama says Sadie's my surrogate dog. That means substitute. Until Thaddeus is at least 1 year old. And then maybe we can get a puppy. That's 218 more days.
Only Phineas, she thought. Sadie loves being your surrogate dog. How's your mom, Colin?
She's having a girl. They don't have a penis.
I've heard that. You'll be a good big brother like Finn is.
I guess. But he got a boy with a penis.
Well, I didn't get to have either and be a big sister, so you're both lucky. I'm going to go say hi to your mom, Finn.
She said for us to play outside because she was going to feed the baby and put him down for a nap. She feeds him milk out of her breasts. Boys can't do that.
This has been an education. She went to the kitchen door, peeked in. Tisha, sitting at the counter, waved her in. I'm sitting down for the first time in too many hours to count. Baby's asleep. Boys are playing outside. Monroe's making music. So I hear. And we're ordering in for dinner because I said so. Help yourself to whatever. Got my whatever. She tapped her water bottle. You look tired. Teething. How quickly we forget. Your mom get off all right? She did just a couple of hours ago. It's been interesting. Is the, should I call it a truce, holding? I mean, I know she was in D.C. for a few days, but this is the longest I've known her to stay around here. A new record. I wouldn't call it a truce, Adrian sat. More like a new direction. And it is holding. She means it. She's trying. And I wanted to tell you she's agreed to the production. We've been making those tweaks, but we've got to go on it. I'll email you everything if you want to start the ball rolling.
It needs to if you're determined to do this by the second week in May.
I want it before graduation, so yeah. I'll get on it. You look tired, too. Maybe a little. I met with the job boss this morning, with the inspector. I'm bringing Kayla in for design work, so we've been going over ideas in emails and texts. I know you and Jan have Rizzo's in order, but I still need to keep involved. He'd expect that.
And let's add what you're leaving out. Did you meet with the PI?
Adrian unhooked her water bottle, took a long drink. Yeah, and she seems solid and smart. She actually thinks she may be able to trace this last card. It's got a publisher. It's not like the others.
And that's another worry. He's broken pattern again.
He wanted to kick me when I was down, so he did. But the PI, Rachel McNee, said that was a mistake. Before, no chance of tracing. Now there is. Maybe she's right. Anyway, my mother wants to do this, and I want to let her.
She looked out the big glass doors, smiled.
Sadie's in heaven.
So are those boys. I love that Finn has a best pal. Big brains really need pals, and they can just be little assholes together.
Colin remains disappointed his new sibling won't have a penis.
He mentions it often.
I'm sorry I'm going to miss seeing Finn's penis-bearing sibling, but I should get going.
You could stay. Get in on the takeout.
I would, but I need to re-choreograph a couple of things.
You gonna be all right alone?
Yeah. The house is home. And I've got Sadie.
If you change your mind, just come back. And don't worry about the rest. I'll get the setup started. Nail down the dates.
Adrian rose. So Raylan's not back yet?
Maya said he was due for family dinner tonight.
Tisha leaned back in her stool.
Why don't you make a move there?
What? She literally jerked back. Raylan? No, that's just weird.
Why? He's seriously cute. He's definitely not an axe-murdering, rapist, drug-addict psycho. He's single.
I'm friends with his sister. I'm now his mother's employer. I knew his wife. I really liked his wife. He still wears his wedding ring.
And on top of all that, it's been a while since I made any moves. I'm pretty sure I'm rusty. You dated that guy a couple of times last fall. Wayne? Twice, and he made the move. I just went with it. And nothing clicked. You need that click. She paused, sighed, then puffed out a breath. I miss sex, I won't lie, but not enough to make moves on a friend or go on clickless dates. She rehooked her water bottle. Maybe you could lend me Monroe. Just for a couple hours. He is good at it. But no. Find your own man. Maybe later. Kiss that baby for me. I'm taking myself and Finn's surrogate dog home. Tisha laughed. He told you that one? I had to come up with it as he started giving me statistics on canine pets for children. I'm not going to housebreak a puppy with a not-quite-5-year-old and a teething baby. No shame in that. I'll send you the finalized agenda and itinerary. Tisha got up to walk to the door, then called out, You know, Monroe and I were friends first.
For what?
Adrian called back.
5 minutes? 8?
We made it to 8 minutes. Think about it. Adrian merely waved, hooked Sadie up to the leash, then ran off. At the end of the following week, with April struggling to bloom in the quick breaks between chilly rain and cold nights, Rachel McNee sat with Adrian in the living room. Rachel, a sturdily built woman in her 40s, drank her coffee black and wore a navy turtleneck with a stone gray suit. The former cop, with her short, straight hair the same color as the suit, looked more like a kindly librarian than a PI with her own agency, which might have been why Adrian felt comfortable with her.
I didn't expect you to report back so soon.
I've got a written report for you, but I thought you'd like to hear the progress face to face.
I didn't expect any progress this quickly either.
You've dealt with this a long time, Rachel said, sympathy apparent, without any. But up to now, your stalkers used cheap white bond, cheap white envelopes, and easily obtainable American flag postage. He's smart enough not to lick the seal of the envelope. He block prints by hand so the printing can't be traced to any particular computer software, typewriter.
And writing the poems by hand's more personal.
Rachel quirked up an eyebrow, nodded.
Yes. Always the same kind of ink, inexpensive ballpoint pen ink. I believe he uses the same brand of pen. He's a creature of habit. This time he broke the habit.
You were able to trace the card?
I was. So will the FBI agent assigned to your case when she's able to get to it. Right now, you're my only client. Your mother made that requirement clear.
She has that way.
She does. What I'm saying is, I could pursue this new communication right away and exploit his mistake. He could have chosen a widely distributed card published by a large publisher. Instead, he went cheap and narrow.
Narrow?
Cat Club Cards. That's a one-woman operation in Silver Spring, Maryland, and one that only started publishing and marketing the cards February 18th of this year. It's a shoestring operation, Ms. Rizzo.
Adrian.
She works out of her home, taking photographs of her cats. She has 6. Her husband helps now and then, she tells me.
She sold him the card?
No. She doesn't sell out of her home, or didn't until she got a website up, started selling online. But she only got that going last week. Her sister manages a card and stationery store in Georgetown and stocked a supply of the cards on February 18th. And Mrs. Linney, the cat card lady, talked her cards into 3 other venues over the next 2 weeks. One in downtown Silver Spring, a place she regularly shops, shelved the cards on the 23rd. And 2 pop-up shops, one in Bethesda, Maryland, one in Northwest DC, shelved them on March 2nd.
So the card he sent me had to be from one of those shops?
Yes, and that narrows the area. The cards were sold individually or in a boxed set of 8 variety pack. Her sister took 6 variety packs and 24 individuals, including the one you received. She sold 2 packs and 10 individuals, including the having a bad day card, up to the time yours was postmarked. Among all the other venues, we have sales of 8 packs and 6 of the version in question.
He lives in that area.
Or was traveling through. None of these venues have security feeds that go back as far as we need. Some of the transactions were by credit card, some were cash. In the interviews with managers, sales clerks, no one can recall anyone who struck them as off, who was memorable. Rachel set aside her coffee, put on a pair of red cheaters to consult her notes. The timeline. The last poem sent the habitual way had a postmark dated February 10th from Topeka, Kansas. You state you picked up the mail from your P.O. box on February 13th, saw the envelope, but didn't at that time open it. She looked up then with more sympathy. This was the same day your grandfather died.
Yes.
His obit, and an article on him, his wife, your family, ran in area papers on February 17th and was linked on the Traveler's Creek webpage on that date.
Yes.
Adrian sat back. And the next day the card went on sale in Georgetown. A few days later in Silver Spring and a few days later in the pop-ups.
Correct.
The card was postmarked March 16th, 10 days before the memorial, which was mentioned in the papers on the town's website. This card, rather than being mailed to your P.O. box, was mailed to your restaurant, and you opened it the day after the memorial. When Adrian rose, Sadie lifted her head, watching to see if she was needed. She kept watching as Adrian paced.
They ran the story in the paper in Kitty Hawk, too. My great-grandparents opened a Rizzo's there when they moved. That was before I was born. My grandparents sold it when my grandfather's parents died. They couldn't run both. He could have read about my grandfather's death in a lot of places.
He could have, yes. My thought is he scans your local papers, checks for any mention of you or your family. He can essentially watch you from a distance. He can access your blog, stream your workouts, buy your DVDs. He'll have them all, Adrian. He'll watch often. She had to fight off a shudder.
The law enforcement consensus is it's not a sexual obsession.
I'd agree. He may be asexual. He may actually be a straight woman, but there's never any hint of sexual obsession in the poems. He wields power and control over you in a different way. The consistency and brevity of the poems, the threat to cause you harm. He enjoys disrupting your life too much to end it.
So far?
Rachel just spread her hands.
The escalation's not a good sign. And while he's never acted on any of these oblique threats, may never act on them, you could consider personal security. I could make some recommendations. I have Sadie and a security system. I've been taking online courses, self-defense, martial arts. I can't think about bodyguards. For how long? This could easily go on another 10 or 12 years. That's part of the torture, isn't it? Not knowing if it'll ever stop? And God, wondering what to do when and if it does, what that would mean.
She sat again.
I want to thank you for the work you did. It's the most real detail I've gotten since this started.
Oh, I'm not done. I have a few lines to tug on yet. Your mother wants thorough, Adrian. I'm very good at thorough. Rachel took a large manila envelope out of her briefcase.
A copy of my written report. I've sent one to your mother. If you have any questions, if there's another poem, please contact me. I will. Could I ask why you left the police department?
After 2 kids, my husband and I talked about it. It's a dangerous job. Investigating's not like what you see on TV or in the movies. It's research, legwork, reports. And, she said as she rose,
I wanted my own. I wanted to call my own shots. I get that.
Rachel held out her hand.
Be sensible. Stay safe. I'll be in touch.
Adrian took the cup and saucer into the kitchen, washed them out. She had work she could do. There was always some work she could do. But if she stayed in the house, she'd read the report, go over everything she'd already been told. Worry it like a bad tooth.
The sun's shining for a change, Sadie. How about I change and we go out for a little run?
Sadie knew out. She knew run and hurried to the mudroom where her leash hung. Gave a single affirmative bark.
Give me 5 to get into running clothes, and we're in business.
Chapter 18. When she visited the job site the following week, she marveled at the walls, now drywalled, mudded, sanded. She turned to Kayla, home on spring break.
Wow, right?
It's so tight, this place.
In her distressed jeans and college hoodie, Kayla turned in a circle.
We used to say it was haunted.
Might have been. But if there were any ghosts, I'd say they're happier now. And I want to say how much I appreciate you spending your spring break in a construction zone.
I couldn't believe you wanted me to help design the new youth center. We'd have died for something like this when I was in high school.
I'm so sorry about your grandfather, Adrian. He meant a lot to everybody. And I'm really honored to be a part of this.
Well, good, because I need help. She put an arm around Kayla's waist. I think I'm a decisive woman, and I have a decent eye, reasonably good taste. But I look around here, and I can't even begin.
Okay, you said you wanted welcoming, happy, but easy to maintain. Nothing fussy, but nothing boring. And you want to respect the history of the building.
And you can work with that?
I've got samples and design boards in my car. Can I bring them in?
Boards? Really? Well, yeah, I'll help you. Before she could, Mark called her from the top of the new staircase.
Hey, Adrian, can you come up and look at this? Hey, Kayla, how's the college girl?
I'm great, Mr. Wicker. How are Charlie and Rich?
Growing like weeds. Kayla used to babysit my kids.
Always a connection in Traveler's Creek, Adrian thought. I'll be right up. Kayla's got some things in her car we need to bring in.
Oh, I can get them.
Hey, Derek. Go down and help Kayla bring in her stuff, will you? You got it.
The gangly, sharp-elbowed Derek jogged down the stairs in his work boots.
How's it going, Kayla?
Adrian headed up, assessed the idea for a change, a smart one, in a storage closet. When she got back down, Kayla had samples on a piece of plywood spread over sawhorses and 3 boards with design elements grouped together. And I need another wow.
You need choices. All the pictures and videos you sent me really helped. I thought you'd want your colors and tones to flow through. Stick with one family? But I think you need to have zones, defined but with that flow. You need a little old time mixed in for the historic aspect, so I was looking at this flooring for the restrooms, the food areas.
It looks like brick.
But it's an easy to clean, non-slip tile. Or you could go with the neutral vinyl, maybe face a wall in the brick pattern. For the cabinetry, you could go with color, for the happy, but with flat front, easy-to-clean doors. Go rustic with the hardware.
I'm already loving the dark green for the cabinets. I'm partial to green.
I remember. You match them with white counters. This is man-made, and you don't have to seal it. It won't hold stains. You could do a rounded edge. Looks pretty, and it's safer with kids. Maybe with the antiqued bronze poles.
Adrian studied as Kayla rearranged samples into groups. Keep talking. Before they finished, Adrian settled on most of the materials, separated out a few samples to take home and look over again. Mark came down to study some of the choices.
I like what I'm seeing. Look at you.
He poked Kayla's arm.
Professional.
Mark's brother, the former rough customer, wandered over to do the same.
Green cabinetry. Snappy.
He winked at Kayla, then turned a 1,000-watt grin on Adrian.
Didn't know you were coming by tonight. I'd have worn my good hat.
Paul, she remembered, and smiled back at him.
I thought that was your good hat.
This old thing? Paul, how about you help the ladies take all this out to their cars? Glad to do it. It sure is a pleasure helping bring this old place back to life.
He swaggered a bit as he hauled out the boards.
Sure am looking forward to some real spring weather if it ever gets here. I see you out running with your dog now and then. You two make a picture.
Sadie loves her runs. Me too. She opened the door so Sadie could jump in. Just the top board in this car, Paul, thanks.
Mason's going to start cleaning and repointing the brick next week if rain holds off.
He leaned against her car for a minute.
You'll see a real difference once he does, and once we get the siding on the second floor.
He rubbed his chin.
Give us a couple good weeks and she'll shine out here.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks again.
Anytime at all. I was going to stop in Rizzo's tonight for a beer and a couple slices. I'd be happy to buy you the same anytime you want to talk the work over.
Thanks. If not, I'll see you here in a few days. He tapped the bill of his cap.
You take care now.
And swaggered back into the building.
He was totally flirting on you.
Yeah, I got that. He's really cute and built.
Barry used to date his sister. Paul's okay. He used to be kind of wild, Barry says, but he's okay.
Yeah, well, Adrian made a non-committal sound.
No sparkage?
I guess not. He is built. Something to think about. I'm going to make a final decision on the rest tonight, or tomorrow. I know we have to talk about furnishings before your break's over.
I've got some ideas.
I count on it. See you soon. No sparkage, Adrian thought as she drove away. No click. Then again, she hadn't given it much of a chance. She could always try that casual beer at Rizzo's and just see.
Just can't seem to work up the energy for it, Sadie. Maybe after this production's finished and the center project's done. Something to think about.
She detoured to Tisha's, hoping to show her the selections she'd yet to decide on. No family car in the drive, which meant said family had gone off somewhere to do some family thing. But she saw Raylan's car in his, pulled in behind it. She'd yet to find the time or opportunity to talk to him since the memorial. Interrupting his workday, she thought, as she let Sadie out again. But she could keep it short. Bounding ahead, Sadie started her happy, full-body wag.
I haven't brought you to see your boyfriend for a while.
My fault. Adrian knocked, then patted Sadie's head.
You ought to play it down a little, you know. Make him work for it before you...
Raylan, his phone at his ear, opened the door. The dogs, one on either side of the doorway, charged each other to end in a rolling, delirious pile of love over the living room floor. Or not, Adrian murmured. Raylan signaled her in. He had on gray sweatpants, a no-one-themed sweatshirt, obviously hadn't shaved in a day or two, and looked, she thought, strangely adorable.
Yeah, it's my dog's girlfriend. Yeah, my dog has a girlfriend.
Raylan sidestepped to avoid the canine trip pile.
Funny. No, that'll be great, seriously. My mom will watch them, and we'll make a night of it. Yeah, way too long. Sure, see you in a couple weeks.
He clicked off, stuck the phone in his pocket.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry to interrupt.
No worries.
He glanced at the dogs busy licking each other's faces.
We've kept the lovers apart.
Clearly we have to do better there.
How about I put them in the backyard? Give them more privacy.
Sure, but I don't want to keep you. You're probably working.
I'll get back to it. Let's go, lovebirds.
He led the way out and through the back door where the dogs bulleted to race around the lawn.
Want a drink? Coke? Water? Juice box?
I'm good, thanks. The kitchen looked like family, she thought. The calendar on the fridge with the month's schedule, the cork board where he'd pinned kid art, some business cards, the almost depleted bowl of fruit on the counter.
I haven't seen you since the memorial, she began, and there were a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about.
How are you doing?
Okay. Okay, really. When Nana died, I'd only actually visited. Extended visits, a lot of times, but visits. I missed her, but I was more worried for him. Then I lived here. More than 2 years. Some mornings I get up, start thinking if it's my turn to drive him to work or expect to smell his morning coffee when I go down to the kitchen. Then I remember.
I still expect to see him behind the counter at Rizzo's half the time. He was an elemental part of a lot of lives.
He was that. I wanted to tell you, I know I thanked you for all the help you gave me, for being there, right there. But I wanted you to know how much what you said meant. You said he'd lived a long, beautiful, generous life, and the fates had let him slip out of it lovingly. It helped in that awful moment to hear that. But more, I play those words back when I need them, and they get me through. Everything else, making those calls for me, holding my hand when I called my mother, all that mattered. But the words, they're forever.
And now I've run out of them.
I couldn't think then, but I have since. Why were you there? Right at the moment we needed you to be.
I'd stop by to show you a mock-up of the Flame novel.
It's done?
Yeah. And it was, basically. I put a mock-up together, and since I based her look on you, I brought it by.
Do you still have it?
Sure.
Can I see it now?
Sure, he said again. It's in my office.
She went with him, and as he went around his workstation to open a file drawer, she scanned the sketches on his wall, his board.
You're working on another No One story. And,
she moved closer,
pitting him against Davina the Sorceress. I love it. They have that crackle of sexual tension, even as they try to destroy each other. This is different.
She shifted over, tapping another sketch.
Like a glass fortress? Not glass, she corrected. Some sort of transparent, impenetrable material, right? Very, very cool. Is it an island? It looks like an island. Yes, an island with a volcano. Who doesn't love a volcano?
She turned to where he stood watching her, completely bemused.
It's an HQ, right? Gotta be the good guys, because transparent. Tell me you're finally forming a heroes team. You're doing your Avengers, your Justice League.
Front guard. The front guard.
The front guard.
She said it softly, with some reverence.
That's perfect. Forging their strengths, aligning their missions, coalescing their powers to become allies against evil.
We might actually want to use that.
There'll be friction. Have to have it. And Violet Queen and Snow Raven have tangled before in Queen's Gambit.
Holy shit.
Dazzled, Raylan could only stare.
But Snow Raven and No One teamed up well in No Quarter, and the follow-up, All In. Will Cobalt Flame be a member?
Will they trust her enough?
We figured True Angel will sponsor her, and after some debate, she'll get a probationary membership. You really do read them.
I like the struggle, the emotional one, and the battles. Good against evil, the loneliness of living a dual life, risking all. And I like what Uncle Ben told Peter. With great power comes great responsibility.
She spotted the book in his hand.
Is that it?
He handed it to her, had to grin when she bounced on her toes.
Oh my God, this is so utterly cool.
It's just a mock-up. Cheaper paper and binding.
It's amazing. It's wonderful.
Carefully, she paged through.
She looks so lonely and tormented when she's alone. Then she's vivid, just magnificent, riding her dragon. And look at the contrast between her and Angel. It's more than physical.
She looked up.
I'm totally fangirling, Raylan, but your art is just amazing.